Ruthie and I have two daughters, and we have one grandson and one granddaughter. And our granddaughter, Kendall, is 17 years old, and this coming week, she begins her senior year of high school. But when I read this gospel lesson today, I remembered when she was 9 years old, and she and our daughter, Lori, came over to our house for a barbecue dinner. And Lori loves making exotic fruit pies. She knows that I love fruit pies. And so she made this overstuffed, beautiful, homemade apple pie. And Kendall took one look at it, our granddaughter Kendall, and said, "Mommy, I want a piece of pie." And Lori, of course, said, "No, you have to eat dinner first." And Kendall asked again, and she asked again, and she asked again. And as I was barbecuing hamburgers and I was barbecuing corn on the cob, Kendall kept asking and kept asking. And finally, Lori said, "Okay, you can have one small slice, but then you have to eat all your supper and no more pie." There's nobody more perseverant than a 9-year-old girl, I'm convinced. But, you know, when you think back over this really wasn't Kendall's words that won over her mom. That's not what won her the pie. It's because Kendall knows how much her mom loves her. And she knew that if she kept saying this to a mom who loved her, that mom, out of her love, would grant what she wanted. So I propose to you that that's what won the day. Not the nagging, but the love that she knew was there. Shifting to the gospel reading today, Jesus led his disciples from the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee where he had been preaching, and they did a 30-mile walk out to the pagan country of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the Mediterranean Sea. It's on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus was trying to get away from Galilee. The crowds had gotten so big that he really wasn't able to have the private teaching time that he wanted with his disciples. And so he wanted to get them away somewhere else. And so he ended up going into pagan, Gentile, non-Jewish country. Tyre and Sidon has quite a history for the Israelites. It's part of the Old Testament area of Canaan, the Promised Land. And, of course, the Jews displaced the Canaanites when they took that over, when they crossed the Jordan River. And the Canaanites were known for their pagan worship of their god El, who was their father god, and Baal, the god of the sea, and Mot, the god of death, and they were known for child sacrifices. These were not friends of Jews. They were very much maligned with Israel. So it's into this setting that Jesus met this non-Jewish, pagan, Canaanite woman who was pleading for him to heal her daughter. And this is just, for me, one of the most intriguing stories in the Gospels because she changed Jesus' mind. You know, they made him change his decision about healing her daughter. And some theologians reject this idea that Jesus could ever change his mind, because with Jesus being God, this means that Jesus knew the plan for his life before he was even born. And so how could he ever change his mind? I mean, it had to have been set from before time exactly what he was going to do. But I don't see it that way. I don't agree with the theologians. I see Jesus' human nature discovering that his mission was to engage all people, any people, based on a deepening of their faith and their understanding of the love that God has for them. And that is what we see reflected in the Isaiah passage as well for today. It just doesn't work for us to put God or the Son of God in a box. And we humans keep trying to do that. We try to put rules around how God operates so that we know how God operates. And that never works because God doesn't fit in any box. And all of our attempts to do that are not going to work. And so we want to say that Jesus came only for the Jews or for the Catholics or for the evangelicals or the charismatics or the liberals or the conservatives or the oppressed, maybe even just for Episcopalians. But none of that works, because that's all trying to put God in a box. God created our diversity, and he celebrates our diversity. As much as we try to figure God out, and as much as we should try to learn about God, no rule we come up with is going to be valid if it includes who's in and who's out. Nothing will deny God's compassionate response to someone with great faith. And that's what Jesus recognized in this Canaanite woman. He recognized a love for God. And so regardless of where she lived, regardless of the tradition of her own people, she had faith in God. She had faith in God's love. And when Jesus realized her faith, he blessed her, and he loved her, and he healed her daughter. So relating it to my granddaughter's constant cry for apple pie, I don't think it was the words of the Canaanite woman that won Jesus over. I think it was Jesus loving the faith that she conveyed, loving the fact that she was so convinced of and so persistent about the love of God that labels didn't matter. I think that's an important message for us to pick up from this. Jesus moved his objective from saying, as he did to the Canaanite woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." He converted from that very, very narrow kind of mission to the one he gave just before the ascension, the Great Commission. Go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you to do. So a very universal message compared to that narrow, focused one that he first said to the Canaanite woman. So that brings us to a position of us to reflect on what persistence do we show in our faith walk. As a faith community, we can look at our persistence. I looked back through some records and saw that the community named St. Luke's began 133 years ago. Now that's perseverance. That's persistence. Because that's a whole lot of clergy who have been here over those years. So it's a lot of changes to deal with. I have to believe over that amount of time there might have been just one or two controversies within the community. Yeah, just one or two, yeah. So there's a need for persistence through all those things to say, number one is our commitment and our belief and our faith in God's unconditional love. That's bigger than all those other things. They become little compared to that. What about our persistence as individuals? Not just as a community. What about as individuals that we show persistence? I think there's a need for that when we see it seems like our prayers are unanswered. We need persistence of faith. And I've seen, some of you have the perspective that I have of looking back over 70 years and seeing that a lot of the lists that I had of unanswered prayers, I have a line through them because I found out over time, gee, they did get met. Not the way I intended, certainly not in the time I intended, because by the time I stood up from kneeling in prayer, I wanted an answer. But that's just not how God works, right? There are other ways that God gets those things done. And so there's a need for us to have persistence in those requests, knowing that we're motivated by our love for God. And with challenges always dangling for the best use of our Sunday mornings, is it our best use of our time to be here? I vote yes. But, you know, we all have to make that decision every week, and there needs to be persistence. Whether this is part of our faith journey to gather as a community and share what we share on Sunday mornings. There's also a persistence that we need to have when we look at all the competing ways to prioritize the way we decide to live our lives. Is my life prioritized by putting my job first? Is it even prioritized by putting myself first? Or is it prioritized instead by putting God in the center of everything I do? It's about persistence in God's love. The message is clear from the readings today that God rewards persistence in claiming and holding on to his love. And you and I are called to have that persistence. And when we do, we're rewarded with love and blessing and healing. So this all sums up to my asking you to do a self-check on your persistence of faith that God's love has absolutely no boundaries. It has absolutely no exclusions. It has no conditions. There is no box you can put God into that limits his love for you. Don't let your mind trick you that you don't have the strength to claim it, because you do. And learn from the Canaanite woman that God loves you, and God will listen, and God will honor your persistence with his blessing. Amen.